I believe that there was a man named Jonah who lived in the belly of a whale. I believe that there is a beautiful heaven. I believe there's a burning hell.
I believe that Moses led God's children all across the hot sand. And when they came to the river, God parted the water and they walked across on dry land.
I believe in the blessed hurt, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God and He's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. Blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood.
Mary was a virgin when she heard that Jesus was on His way. I believe if you look inside the lowly manger, you see God laying in the hay. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose up on the third day. I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, God's children will be called away.
Hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and He's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope, I believe in the book and the blood. Blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God, and He's coming back someday. Someday. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. I believe in the blessed hope,
I believe
in the book and the blood.
I believe in the blessed hope.
Yes, I believe in the holy book.
I believe in the blessed hope.
I believe in the book and the blood.
Great. Thank you, Brother Brian. I was thinking when Brother Brian was standing up here how proud I am of him. And several other of the young men of our church, I see them growing and wanting to serve God with their life, and it just makes my heart proud. Not that I have a whole lot to do with it. I'm just proud to see young men and young ladies want to serve God with their life. Amen. And that ought to make any of us proud. Ought to make us happy to see young people, the next generation that's coming up behind us, wanting to take up the mantle and go forward for the cause of Christ. I'm thankful for young men and young ladies in our church that want to serve God with their life. Well, the book of Deuteronomy is an interesting book. The book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. That's kind of what the word means. Deuter, of course, is a term that means two, deus, two, or second. It's the second giving of the law. And here is Moses going over again with the children of Israel, rehearsing with them some things that was going to be needful for them as they entered into the promised land. And as we come to chapter number 8, I thought it would be appropriate tonight. I preached a message last year, and I've got some other notes here for tonight to add to it. I want to add some things and change some things around about remembering how important it is to, as we move forward, to remember. Now, we don't want to look back and keep our eye on the past, but it's certainly good to learn from the past. It's certainly good to gain some things that we learned and that we achieved, and allow that to propel us into the future as we move forward into a new year. There's a key word in Deuteronomy that I would ask you to go home and get your concordance and look up. It's the word remember. And I thought, well, how appropriate tonight. We're in the the first Sunday night service of a new year, but it's also a time when we're going to be observing the Lord's table. And we've been told to do this in remembrance of our Lord. We have to be put in remembrance of some things. And here in this book, God constantly tells the children of Israel to remember. I pinned down a few things. If you want to write these scriptures down, or if you want to wait till you get home, if you have a concordance. If you do not have a concordance, I highly recommend that you get you a Strong's Concordance, get you the old one, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's a great way to search scriptures. It's a great way to find meaning of words. It's just a great way to study the Bible. And so I encourage that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, in verse number 9 through 13, Moses reminded the children of Israel, remember Mount Sinai. You know, remember that thundering voice where God thundered out to you on Mount Sinai. In Deuteronomy chapter number 5, he said, remember that you were slaves. And he did that in more than just in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He did in chapter 16, chapter 10, chapter 24. He wanted them to not forget as they entered into Canaan's land. Don't forget where you come from. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to cross over, amen, and to go into Canaan's land. But as you do that, don't forget where you come from now. See, you're sitting here in church tonight, and I look around, and most of you are dressed in your Sunday best, and I believe that's the way it ought to be. Amen. You're dressed in your Sunday best, and you're at church, and you probably did not go out and party last night. If you did, I hope you were at the altar this morning. Amen. But you probably were not out partying last night, or you're here in church, and you're serving God with your life, but it hasn't always been that way. And sometimes we need to be put in remembrance. We need to remember that there was a time when we were slaves. Now I'm a servant. Amen. I used to be a slave, but I've changed masters. And here Moses is reminding them, remember that. Then in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and we'll look at this, he told them to remember how God did some things. Deuteronomy chapter number 9 and verse number 7, he said, remember how you provoked the Lord. And you don't want to do that again. Amen. Deuteronomy 9, 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 24, he said, remember what the Lord did to Miriam. That was Moses' sister. And you be careful about how you talk about God's servants now. Amen. That's an important, listen, it's very serious. And so be careful. God doesn't take that lightly. And I need to be careful as well. And then Deuteronomy chapter number 25, he said, remember your enemies. Don't forget there's enemies. You know, it can't all be lovey-lovey. You know, sometimes when a man preaches against sin, people say, well, you know, that preacher is hateful. He doesn't love people. Well, you know, if you love people, you're going to preach the truth. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? No, your friend will tell you the truth. Now, he'll do it in love. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. And so there's a balance there. But I want to talk to you about a chapter number 8. I read a couple of these verses Wednesday. And by the way, I really enjoyed Wednesday night's prayer meeting time. We got to hear from our sister pastors. I thought they'd done a great job. Each one of them challenged my heart. And then Dr. Thompson added something to that. And I just enjoyed that format. And we met yesterday as pastors, and I asked them that we would do that again, maybe a little more regularly, and just have our sister pastors to speak their heart to us on Wednesday nights. And of course, they'll be preaching some Sunday nights this month and throughout the year. Of course, we have our Youth Sunday every fifth Sunday, and that's something unusual. We talked about yesterday, there's 5 months in this year where there's 5 Sundays. That's a little different. There's normally only 4 every year, but for some reason, and I haven't figured it out, maybe you know, and if you do, come to me after the service, where there's 5 months in this year that has 5 Sundays. There's 5 fifth Sundays. That's kind of unusual. There's normally only 4. But anyway, that's going to be our Youth Sundays, and we can't have enough of that. I appreciate our youth. We're going to have some Children's Sundays, and I hope you got a copy of the events calendar. Now, that doesn't go over all that the church will be going over and participating in this year. But I believe that a going church ought to be a growing church. I believe that. I believe we ought to keep things going and moving. We don't get so caught up in activity that we're just busy doing a bunch of stuff. We want to be busy doing things that's going to help us in every area of our life, but most importantly, spiritually, growing spiritually. And so I pray that you would remember that. Let's take a look in chapter number 8 of Deuteronomy and go through a few things. Here in this chapter, there's something that I want to bring to your attention, how that Moses spoke to the children of Israel and he said, I want you to remember a few things that's going to help you as you move into the new land. They were getting ready to possess the land. And he said, I want to give you some things that'll help you, that if you'll remember these things as you move into the new land, it's going to help you to adjust and acclimate and get busy in the land and serve God in that land. Well, I want to take that thought and say that I want to give it to you as you get ready to move into this new year. I doubt you'll be moving into a new land. Maybe, who knows? We don't know what this year holds. Maybe someone will be moving into a new land. But we're all moving into a new year, and I think these same principles can apply. So let's look at them. In chapter number 8, notice with me if you would, and we talked about this just a little. I just hinted at it a little bit Wednesday night. There's two times in this chapter 8, verse number 2, and chapter 8, verse number 18. Look at this phrase, if you would, in chapter 8, verse number 2, and thou shalt remember, and then if you look at verse number 18, but thou shalt remember. And so here's God, through Moses, saying, listen, remind them that as they're moving forward, to remember some things from behind them. Remember some things that will help them to learn from some past experiences as they move forward. Now, what are some of those things? Well, let's see what he said here. Moses is saying, God wants you to remember some things, and he's called on me to put you in remembrance that as you move forward, that you remember some experiences that happened in the past that's going to help you as you move forward into the new land, and in our case, into the new year. Let's look at them. Number one, we need to remember, and I touched on this little Wednesday, the patience of God. Notice what he said here in verse number 2, and there's several things that I want to just draw your attention to, and I'm not going to develop each one of them, but I want to draw your attention to it. Look at verse number 2. He said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now think about this. I like that word all. All the way. We were talking in Sunday school this morning how that God has promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. I mean, this group of people murmured and complained, and we can't be too hard on them. Amen. We do our share of murmuring and complaining. Say amen with me now. I know it's not easy, but it's so. This group of people murmured and complained against God. They were discontented. They were just so, grumpy and indicting God and accusing him of not caring. And if we're not careful, we'll have that same lot in life. Amen. We'll forget what God has done for us and where he's brought us from. And we'll begin to think that maybe we're not getting our fair share of God's blessing. And that's what happened to this group of people. Notice what Moses said. As you go into the new land, remember how God, in verse number 2, led thee. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. He led you all the way. He led you when you were aware of it, and he led you when you was not aware of it. He led you when you were worshiping him, and he led you when you were grumbling against him. Amen. And God's going to do that for you and I. You know why? Because he's promises in his word. He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. So God's going to be with us all the way. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. This speaks of the patience of God. Now, it's hard to stay around people all the time. That's right. I think it's just good to get a break. Now, some of you are going to think that I'm out of bounds here, but I want you to listen to me before you judge me. I think it's good for a man and a wife just to kind of to go in a different direction every now and then. I do. I think it's good. I'm not talking about, her go to one state and him go to another. I'm talking about maybe the next room. Amen. It's just good. When you spend time with a person all the time, I think that could be potentially harmful. You know, you just need to spend some time alone. Did you know the Bible taught that? The Bible teaches there's just times you need to spend some time alone. You get alone with God and you recharge your battery and you spend some time where it's just you and God. Now, some of you are looking at me like, well, I'm more spiritual than that. I'm going to stay right up under my spouse all the time. Yeah, well, you talk to them about that, and they might help you get over that. Amen? I'm telling you, there's a time that we all need to be alone. There's a time when we don't need our children around. There's a time when we don't want our spouse around. We just wanted us and God. Doesn't mean we don't love our children. Doesn't mean we don't love our spouse. Doesn't mean we love them any less. We just need to be alone with God and let God search our hearts and let God do a work in our lives. And hear the scripture saying that God led thee all this way. All right, He led you all this way. And it shows His patience with you. God's always there. All right, He's always there. He's there when you're doing right and He's there when you're not. Amen. He's there when you're serving Him, and He's there when you refuse to serve Him. He's there when you're at your best, and God's there when you're at your worst. Now, God's there all the time, and you need to recognize that. That is a testimony to the patience of God in our lives. I am so thankful for the patience of God. I want you to underline this phrase here, these 40 years. Now, 40 in the scripture is a probation or a time of trial. You can go through the scripture and there's a lot of 40 days and 40 years attachment to probation and trial. And it not only shows the trial and the probation of man, but it shows, listen, the reason they were in this wilderness is because God was trying them because they didn't go the way God told them to go. Amen. But on the flip side of man being tried is God being patient. While man was being tried for his hard-headedness and his disobedience, God was being patient with them. Now, I realize that I speak to a group of people who probably don't have a problem with being stubborn and hard-headed. And we're always doing what God tells us to do and how He tells us to do it. But if you would allow me just for a moment to get you to pretend that you are stubborn sometimes and that you don't do what God says do. And yet look how patient God has been with us. Brethren, if it were not for the patience of God, none of us would be here tonight. You do realize that. If it were not for the Lord's mercies, we'd all be consumed. If God gave us what we deserve, we certainly wouldn't be in here tonight. You understand that. I pray that every person in here understands what I'm telling you tonight. And this is what God is telling through Moses, the children of Israel. Hey, when you go into this new land that I have prepared for you, a land flowing with milk and honey, when you go into this new land that is the sign of the victorious Christian life, it's the land of promise. The land that I have given to you, I swear it to your father Abraham. He said, when you go into this land, you remember that there's a lot of things that took place prior to you getting there so that you could enjoy the Canaan land experience. Now, brethren, there's a lot of things that's happened in 2016, in 2015, in 2014 that maybe we don't understand. Some things in your life, some things in my life, some things in our lives collectively as a church body that possibly we don't understand. But can I tell you that God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, God, who is an all-knowing, all-seeing God, He knows what we're going to face and what we're going to experience in this year of 2017. And so He has prepped us, He has prepared us all along the way for this moment in time. Now that's God. Man cannot do that, but God can do that. And that's what's happening here. He said how that God led you, even in the wilderness, in verse number 2, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. God led them. You know, I'm glad God leads even in the wilderness. Some folks think, well, God only leads on the mountaintop. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm glad that God's with us right there through the valley of the shadow of death. God leads and guides, and God's presence is there whether we're on the mountaintop or the valley, the wilderness, victory, defeat, God's always there. Aren't you glad for that? You know why God is always there? Because God is more patient than my mind and your mind could ever comprehend. He's patient. You say, well, preacher, I consider myself a fairly patient person. Well, that's a good trait. It truly is. But you take your patience and you multiply it by infinity, and you might begin to understand a little bit about how patient God is with us. God's a very patient God. And if we were to get by ourselves from time to time and just think about all that God has brought us through, about all that God has helped us with and all that God has done in our lives, it would be a fresh reminder that we need, God, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you. I don't thank God enough for his patience in my life. I want to be a thankful person, and I'm not saying this in any way boastful. I am a thankful person. I want to be a person of gratitude. But I will confess, I am not as thankful for God's patience as I should be and I want to be. And as I move into this next year, would you join me in saying, God, I want to commit to being mindful, as Moses reminded and said, remember. Look at it, verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He said, as you prepare to move into the next phase, would you remember God's patience? God, help us to do that. God, help us to remember. You're patient with us. Amen? Something to remember. And as we remember that God is patient with us, may it impact our lives that we will learn to be patient with others. Sometimes we grow very impatient with people, and we want them to hurry up and do what we want them to do and get where we want them to be and act like we want them to act. But as we remember God's patience with us, I really believe it'll help us to be patient with others. And as we do that, I believe it'll help us as we move forward into this new adventure that God has for us in the year 2017. What about you? I believe that with all of my heart, brethren. I do. Number 2, not only do I see here that we're to remember God's patience, but let's remember God's purpose. Now, why is God taking us into this new year? Why didn't God take us out in 2016? Why did some of the things that happened to us in 2016 or 2015 or leading up to this moment that we're in today in 2017? Notice what Moses said that he wants you to remember. Okay, he said, I want you to remember something. Number 1, remember God's patience. God's patient with you. You remember that. I hope that that'll help somebody this evening as you move forward. Maybe a child, maybe a young person, maybe an elderly person. I don't know. But I hope it'll help somebody tonight not to get flustered and frustrated and want to quit when you mess up. You won't be so soon to give up in 2017 because you'll remember. You know what? My preacher told me from the Word of God that God was patient and he still loves me even when I don't recognize him. And he still loves me even when I don't do what he asked me to do. He's not pleased with me, but he's patient with me and he still loves me and wants me to serve him. I pray, listen, if just one person could get a hold of that, and it would change the way they live their life. We're so quick to be discouraged and to think, well, you know, God's forgotten me. No, God hasn't forgotten you. God didn't forget. Listen, you know what God did for these folks? Look, if you would, on down with me in verse number 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. See how patient God was with them? These people were murmuring and pining. Would to God, they cried out, we'd have stayed in Egypt. They began to say, oh, those melons and those leeks and those onions and those cucumbers of Egypt. Would to God, we'd have stayed in Egypt. And God said, I'm looking out for you. I'm making sure your feet don't swell so you can keep those shoes for 40 years. So that's how patient God is. Making sure that your raiment don't wax old so you won't be out here barren and naked in the hot desert sun bearing down on your body while they were grumbling and mumbling and complaining against God. Now that's how patient God is. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? It is. And so I want you to remember that. All right, I'm not giving you license to say, well, I'm just going to grumble and complain. This ought to break your heart. It breaks mine. I don't want to grumble against God. I ought to remember God is gracious and God takes care of me and God meets my needs and all that I have and all that I am, I have and I am by the grace of God. And I want to be thankful for it. And I want to bless His name. And I want to show forth His honor. I want people to know I've got a good master. Amen. My master's worth serving. Verse number 2, look at what it says here. He said, I done this to humble thee. What do you think about that? God said, I was patient with you to humble you. I was with you those 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. Why do people need to be humble? That's not a hard question to answer, is it? Because we're full of pride. You know, God hates pride. He hates pride in my life. He hates pride in your life. Let me break pride down very, very simple for you. Pride, in reality, is a simple state of atheism. Pride says, I don't need God, so I won't recognize Him. Pride says, I don't need to pray before I go out into my day. I can take care of it. Pride says, I don't need God to be a family man. I can do the family man thing myself. Pride says, I don't need God to do my job. I can do this job because I have the know-how and the ability to do my job. And so I don't have to ask God to help me to do my job. And so I won't go to God and get His counsel on doing this. That is pride. It's pride. Now, we don't like to look at it that way, but I'm telling you, brethren, pride is this arrogancy of saying, I'm not going to ask God to get involved in these areas of my life because I can do it without God. Now, we wouldn't say that, but yet we live our lives that way. And I think all of us have been guilty at one time or another. I know I have, and I'm not indicting you. You let the Spirit of God indict you where needed. If we're not careful, and here's what the children of Israel did. For all those years, they were in Egypt. They didn't get out on their own. You know when they got out of Egypt? When God sent them a deliverer. Amen? That's when they kind of came out of Egypt's land. But it wasn't until God sent them the deliverer Moses that they came out. That God hardened the heart of Pharaoh and that God took care of the business that they came out of Egypt. And yet how soon they forgot. And they puffed themselves up. And God said, you know, I was with thee these 40 years in the wilderness because I wanted to prove some things and I wanted to show you that I'm a patient God, but I wanted you to see how full of pride you were because you needed to be humbled. Now, you would have thought that a people that stayed in captivity, in bondage, in slavery for 400 years would have been humbled by now. But boy, I tell you, we're a quirky bunch, we human beings. And you give us a little liberty and freedom, and we think we're conquerors. We think that we've done it all. Right? Is that the way we are, brethren? It's an indictment on the human race. The fall of man. But nonetheless, God said, if you'll notice with me now, He said, I did it to prove some things. I wanted to prove to you that though you had been in the situation that you had been in, you should have been thankful and humbled. You still needed to be humbled. Look at again what He said in verse number 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Are you proud? That question can be answered real simply by just taking a few tests. And that's exactly what God's getting ready to do with the children of Israel. Let's look at these three, and I want you to write down three words, okay? And this will answer the question, do we need to be humbled before we move into this new year? All right, you ready? Number one, do we recognize that we need an allegiance to God Look at what he said here. To humble thee and to prove thee. To prove thee. Whose side you're on? Who you living for? To prove thee. God said, that's why I done it. I wanted to show you that you were not committed to me. Your allegiance was not to me. It was in your freedom or your property or your family, but it wasn't to me. Who's your allegiance to? Who is my allegiance to? It's a tough question to answer, isn't it? But if we're honest with ourselves, we need to really search our hearts and say, who am I really? Who am I living for? What am I living for? God left me here another year, and I need to find out why. So I can do what I want, how I want, when I want, or so I can serve Him and His kingdom. And I think we all know the answer to that. But the question is, are we willing to line up with that? To prove thee, is what he said. Is there an allegiance? Is there an allegiance to God? Notice what he said. To prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Well, I tell you, it doesn't take long for God to reveal to us what's in our heart, does it? Does it, brethren? I'm talking to you about pride. I know, listen, it's something we all need. Pride is something that, I tell you, it just sneaks up so quickly. And it begins to consume our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll get up and go in our day and not even acknowledge that there's a God in heaven. Won't even pray. Won't even acknowledge that we need instruction from His Word. Because if we do not get instruction from God, how are we going to carry out what His instructions for the day? You know, there are people who report to work and get instructions from their supervisors every day. But we ought to report to our supervisor, our master, and get our marching orders every day. And if we do not, it's pride. We can call it a lot of things. We were having this discussion in Sunday school the other day and just writing down reasons that people don't read their Bible. And we come up with a bunch of excuses. I mean, it was a bunch. And I said, we all have excuses. Busy, can't understand it. Somebody in our class, help me out. What was some? Unbelief. Just all kinds of things that, you know, the reason we don't read our Bibles is because we choose not to. Because we really believe, you know what, I can make it this day without reading my Bible. I don't need instruction from God. I don't need to pray. I got this. I've got this, God. Tell you what, if I have a wreck on the way to work, well, then I'll call you. Now, that doesn't sound nice, but brethren, you see that mindset? And God said right here, He said, I did this to humble you, to prove to you what was in your heart. Is that what He said? It is. I tell you, I don't know about you, I don't like to hear stuff like that, but it helps me. I need to know. I want to know. I like it just straight. You know, God, just tell me. And you know what? He does. He does. So allegiance. Number two, obedience. Look at what he said in verse number two. Not only to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, but to know whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. What about it? Does doing it God's way, does it mean something to us? Is it important that I know what God says so I can do what God says? Is it important to me? See, I need to remember this. As I go forward, as these are going forward into a new experience, into a new land, as we move forward into a new year, we want to realize God's patient. But some things happen. Those wilderness experiences happen for a purpose. What was the purpose? To teach us some things. We may not be as spiritual as we think we are. Right? We don't want to be like Paul warned and said, hey, we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But if we're not careful, we'll think, you know what? Fellowship Baptist Church is this, and Fellowship Baptist Church is that, and I'm this, and I'm that. And we'll begin to think, well, we're all that, when in reality, brethren, we're just sinners saved by grace, and we need God in a major way. We need God. I like what the songwriter said, I need thee every hour. Oh, my. And so here God said, those experiences, and I don't know what you experienced. Was it a physical situation, a financial mishap? Was it a weakness in your life? I don't know what you experienced in 2016 or 15 or 14 or leading up to 2017, but I know that those 40 years, here is what God is telling the children of Israel. He said, I did this to humble you, to teach you to have an allegiance to me. You need me, is what God is saying. You need me more than you realize you need me. And you need to pay attention to my commandments and keep them. Now, this is what God said. He said, I've done it to see, look in verse number 2 now, I've done it to see what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. God will allow things in your life and mine to see whether we're going to do the right thing or not. Is that what the book teaches, brethren? It is. You say, why did that happen? Because God wanted to see what I was going to do. Why did this situation happen? Because God wanted to see how I would respond to that situation in my life, if I was going to honor His word and obey His word or not. Now let me give you one more thing. Number one, allegiance. He said, I did it to prove you, to see what was in your heart. Now God already knew what was in their heart, but God wanted them to know what was in their heart. And guess what they found out? Their hearts were full of murmuring and complaining. They were unthankful. Right? You know, there's been experiences in my life where God has revealed the same thing. And as I move forward, I want to remember that. And I hope you do too. Number two, if I'm going to keep His commandments or no. Not just at church. Not just when my family's present. I want to keep His commandments when no one else is around. When no one else sees, God sees. And I am still responsible to keep God's commandments. Amen. Number three, look at it. Verse number 3 says, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now, we're very familiar with that verse of Scripture because that's a verse that Jesus quoted when He was being tempted of the devil when He went out after those 40 days of fasting. Man doth not live by bread alone. What is God saying here? He said, I allowed these things so that you could know, were you committed to me? Was there an allegiance to me? I allowed these things to happen so that you could see if you were going to be obedient no matter what happened. Or were you just going to be a sunshine Christian? When everything's going good, you want to do right, but then when things seem to come apart, then you want to kind of do what you want to do instead of what God said to do. Doesn't work that way, brethren. Now, we all know that, right? But now here's a third thing, and this is what God wants. Don't you miss this. What is God saying in verse number 3? Did you get it? Did you see what God's saying there? I pray that you get this. God wants me to depend on Him. Did you know that? See, pride will say, I don't need God and I don't need to depend on God. But when I'm humbled, He said, look at it in verse number 3, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and He fed thee. See, God allowed them to do without so He could meet their need and they could see they needed to depend on God. They needed God. Do you realize how much you need God? I pray that you do. You know, 2017, 18, right on up until, I don't know however how long God's going to let us hang around here. Could be great years, great days in our lives if we would depend on God. God wants us to depend on Him, not the church, not the preacher, not a job. Listen to me now. Not intellect. Not science. All these things are good in and of themselves, but God wants us as His children to depend on Him. God said, I want you to depend on me. Trust in me with all thine heart. Don't you lean into your own understanding. Isn't that what he says? Verse number 3, he said, God suffered thee to hunger so that he could feed you with that manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers. God was just meeting your needs so that you could depend on him. He went on and we read these scriptures about the raiment and about the shoes, the feet, because God wanted them to know, I'll take care of you if you will depend on me. If you'll let God, God will take care of you. But now if you insist on taking care of yourself, you can go through this life second class. As a Christian, God will let you do it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you say, well, I got this, God. You know what God says? Okay. Go second class. You go with God, you're going first class. Amen. Amen. You're getting the best. You're getting the best when you go with God. Let God meet your need. Let God meet my need. All right? So here it is. Number one, we need to remember. Remember what? God is patient. God's patient. You say, well, preacher, I messed up royal in 2016. Well, 2017 is another opportunity for you to remember that God is patient. And if you'll confess and acknowledge, God will cleanse and forgive. And you can wipe the slate clean and serve God with your life. God's looking for people that will serve him with their life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing not to just make God a presence in your life? Not even prominent. Are you willing to make him preeminent in your life? If you are, then God says, I have something very special for you. And then, not just that God is patient, but God is one who wants to show you he has purpose for your life. But he wants you to come to him and say, God, I'm committed. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to your will for my life. You know, one of the things that irritates me. It irritates me as a pastor, and it irritated me as a parent. My children, from an early age, started having people to try to pump into them the American dream. I'm not interested in the American dream. I'm not interested in the American dream. I love my country. Don't you misunderstand me, and those who know me well know I love my country. But I am not interested in the American dream. I'm interested in the will of God. I want the will of God for my life, and I want the will of God for my children's life, and I hope and pray to God that you want the same. Junk the American dream and latch hold of this book and the purpose of God for your life. And don't look back. Don't look back. Allegiance to God. Obedience to his commandments. If God says don't do it, don't do it. If God says do it, do it. We try to make the commandments of God difficult and muddled. Listen, thou shalt not commit adultery. That doesn't sound very muddled to me. Thou shalt not steal. That doesn't sound very muddled to me. Amen? Sounds kind of clear. Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That sounds kind of clear to me. God's commandments are not grievous, muddled. See, we try to make them that way so that we can have excuse when we don't want to obey them. Allegiance, obedience, dependence. Let's stand to our feet. There's the patience of God. Thank God for the patience of God. I'm glad that my God is a patient God. And then there's the purpose of God. God said, I allow things in your life to prove some things, to reveal some things. Oftentimes as a pastor, I get asked this question, preacher, why did God allow that to happen? I don't have the answer to that question. Perhaps it could be right in the scripture that we read tonight. Perhaps God allows some things to happen in your life and mine in days and weeks, months and years gone by to bring us to this point so that he could reveal some things, to see what was in our heart, so that we could see who we were committed to, what we were committed to, so that we could see whether we're going to keep his commandments or no. and so that we could see our greatest dependence should be our dependence on God. Let's bow our heads together.